It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
When it comes to border security, what the American people have heard from the Trump administration is misleading at best. The president declared a non-existent emergency.
It is absolutely abhorrent that Democrats are still refusing to acknowledge the crisis on the border, particularly when Barack Obama himself even called it a crisis in 2014.
This is not a manufactured crisis. This is truly an emergency. As the Secretary of Homeland Security, I can no longer assure you of who is coming into this country that is a direct national security threat. Make no mistake, this chain of human misery is getting worse.
All right, that was Congressman Benny Thompson, Secretary of for the Media for the President, Sarah Sanders, and Kirstjen Nielsen of Department of Homeland Security testifying. Yesterday, Kirstjen Nielsen was on Capitol Hill for like 3 hours testifying, and of course, she came under attack. And of course, there's no emergency. However, the irony is even the New York Times and the Washington Post are now pointing to the emergency at our border. They may not be using that name. The New York Times headline was "Border at Breaking Point as More Than 76,000 Unauthorized Migrants Cross in a Month." Meanwhile, a drama is playing out in the Senate because, of course, Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, after he encouraged the president to declare an emergency so he could get funding for the border and asking the president to please sign that terrible funding bill. That was the deal. Mitch McConnell is doing nothing to stop Republicans from signing on to the Democratic resolution to terminate the president's national emergency declaration. And before I introduce our guest and clear my throat, I want to tell you something. You've been asking me what to do, so I'm going to tell you right up front before we talk to Mark. You need to call your senators. Your Republican, your Democratic senators, you can call them too. They are sort of hopeless. But the Republican senators need a call from you telling them that they absolutely must vote no on the Democrats' resolution to terminate the president's national emergency declaration. They must vote no. How dare they? How dare they, after not giving him money to provide security, after not passing any legislation to secure our border and strengthen our laws, how dare they then undermine the president of the United States when he's actually trying to do something about it and build a border wall. So call your senator, your Republican senator, primarily, and tell them they must vote no on that resolution to terminate the president's national emergency declaration. And with that, let me introduce Mark Kerkorian. Mark is the head of the Center for Immigration Studies, a good friend, a great guest, and one of the nation's leading experts on this issue. Mark, good morning, first of all. And how bad is it at the border? Are we exaggerating? Are you exaggerating?
No, it's pretty bad, and it's going to get worse. The critics have one legitimate point, that the Border Patrol arrest statistics were higher like 15 years ago. But that's the only point they have, because those statistics are deceptive. They were single Mexican men getting caught over and over again trying to cross the border. Each of those arrests counts as a separate number in the statistics. What we're seeing now is a lower overall number, which has grown dramatically from what it was a few years ago, of families from Central America lured here by the loopholes in our policies. They don't keep trying over and over again. They cross and flag down a Border Patrol agent and turn themselves in because they know that they will simply be released into the United States and no one's ever going to be looking for them again. So we have a real problem. It's growing. It's accelerating at the border. And what we're seeing really is our version of what Germany saw a few years back when their prime minister said, you know, anyone, any refugee pretending to be a Syrian can come into Germany. They got a million people in no time. And it's still continued to rock their politics to this day. That's what we're seeing at the southern border. And I think it's going to continue to accelerate at least until the election next year. This is going to get a lot worse before it starts getting better.
Well, and just a kind of a general observation, of course, when President Trump was elected, the border crossings went down almost to nothing, because they thought, the word was on the street, that President Trump, because of his rhetoric when he was running, was going to clamp down and it would be unsafe to come into America. But as he has been blocked in the courts left and right and unsupported in the Congress, and his hands have been tied, those border crossings have increased. Would you think, is that a fair analysis?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the president, I think, didn't understand why the border crossings collapsed after his election and, you know, around the time of his inauguration, because they did. I mean, they dropped dramatically to levels never seen before. And I think he thought it was, okay, we've solved this problem. The problem is, all it was, as you suggested, was a kind of wait and see, people saying, oh, my God, you know, maybe this guy will start shooting people at the border, so let's not do it and see what happens. Well, not only did that not happen, we're not going to be shooting people at the border, but even the regular law enforcement measures that we need weren't in place. Courts blocked things he wanted to do. Congress blocked the things that were necessary, plugging the loopholes that attracted people. And so not only have we reached the level of illegal crossings that we had before the president took over, but it's now exceeded it. We're now seeing a level of arrests at the border that we haven't seen since the George W. Bush administration, and it's only going to increase.
You know, just one little other stat. There are a lot of stats. I think the New York Times is reporting, even the New York Times is saying more than 76,000 unauthorized migrants crossed in 1 month. And that's on record, as I understand it, Mark, to be a million people. If it stays on track, and if it doesn't increase, which some are saying it will when the weather warms up, even at this pace, we will be taking in a million people in this country. And what happens when they come in, Mark?
What happens is if they have a kid, usually they have a kid, sometimes they don't. But in either case, what the Central Americans do now is they've been coached on what to say. And they say that they fear persecution, fear return to their home country. That triggers automatically an interview to see how plausible that is. It's not the whole asylum thing. It's just kind of the first cut. It's called a credible fear interview. And as the name suggests, is the fear that these people are expressing credible? Is it believable? Basically, though, the standards are so low that as long as you don't think that Mickey Mouse is talking to you through your dental work, you get the rubber stamp. You get released into the country in order to apply for asylum. Half of the people that they release that way never even bother to apply, because it was always just a lie. The other half who do apply, often they do it because after 6 months after applying, if your case hasn't been heard, you get a work permit. That's a pretty valuable thing to, you know, show up to court for once or twice. But even they, very few of them actually get asylum at the end of the road. And even the ones who were turned down are not taken into custody and removed. So basically, once you get past the Border Patrol and you get that piece of paper saying, you know, we've let you in provisionally for you to apply for asylum, once you get that, you're home free, basically. Nobody's looking for you unless you end up, you know, killing somebody or dealing drugs. If not, and most of these people are just regular people, they're not drug dealers. You're home free. Nobody's looking for you.
So this
is open borders, is what I'm trying to say. It really is open.
Yes, absolutely. And so when do these various categories of people start getting aid from our government? How do they then find themselves on the rolls? I'll give you one. I'll answer my own question while you're thinking there. Daniel Horowitz has a great list this morning of numbers that we should be concerned about. He says 31,000 is the number of projected aliens taken to American hospitals by the end of the year if the current pace holds. 57,000. It's the number of man hours the Border Patrol has spent with aliens in our hospitals just since December 22nd. According to Brian Hastings, chief of Border Patrol operations, 25 to 45% of Border Patrol resources are now diverted to the processing and humanitarian functions rather than patrolling the border. So that's one way it's costing us, not just money, but also just in terms of protection, just regular protection at the border. But what other ways are, like benefits and, you know, food stamps and all of those kinds of things? Sure. How does that kick in, Mark?
Yeah, the benefits are relatively limited at first, but even there they exist. First of all, there's emergency Medicaid if you're having a child, so that the government will pay for childbirth for anybody, including illegal aliens. The you know, there's also emergency room care is available to anybody, regardless of status or ability to pay. That's federal law. The real thing, the real benefits issue kicks in when illegal immigrants start having U.S. foreign kids, which happens pretty quickly, because those are, they're U.S. citizens and they're eligible for all federal benefits, including food stamps and all the rest. And, you know, if the food stamps are given only on behalf of the child, it's not like the 18-month-old baby is walking to the grocery store and buying the groceries. I mean, it's feeding the family, not just the children, the American-born children that are getting the benefits. But the, you know, that's a longer-term thing, but that's where the welfare cost comes in. The stuff you were talking about is the much more immediate effect, because a lot of, every one of these people has to be screened medically by the Border Patrol. A lot of them, and they're coming from a third-world country. They've spent 1,000 or 2,000 miles schlepping through Mexico, so they often need medical care. And when one of them, as we've seen in the news in the past few weeks, when one of them dies from illnesses they brought with them or they contracted in Mexico, somehow that becomes our problem. And, I mean, at least as far as the Democrats are concerned, and that obviously creates cost. There was just one poor guy who died of cirrhosis of the liver. And, you know, I mean, it's a kind of a grim joke I cracked that, you know, did the Border Patrol give him cirrhosis of the liver? Certainly not. And yet we spent, you know, he was in the hospital for quite a while before he passed away. All of that's on us. Nobody's paying for that. That's the other patients of that hospital, the other taxpayers in the state and the country are the ones paying for all of this medical care.
Well, and let me just jump in before we run out of time to also point out that that means that that's at a cost of our medical care. I'm not even talking about money. I'm talking about when you go into the emergency room and it's stacked with illegal immigrants and you can't get the timely care or you can't be seen at all because they just are at capacity, there is a price to be paid. Mark, before we run out of time, I want to know what you think about this this move in the Senate to override the president's emergency declaration.
Yeah, they only needed four Republicans to override it, and I think they're definitely going to get four. They have, I mean, they've already gotten four Republicans. If these latest numbers change any minds, I don't think it's going to change the first result, but the president's going to veto this if it passes. And the question is, do they have enough votes to override a veto? They need two-thirds for that. And I think the latest news about the House, it's spinning out of control at the border, is going to make it a lot less likely there's going to be enough votes to override the president's veto of this Democrat bill.
You know, I mentioned this earlier, but I want to say it again. I had forgotten until we were in a meeting yesterday when somebody reminded me of that Mitch McConnell encouraged the president to declare an emergency. Pass this icky, horrible, ridiculous spending bill with no funding for your wall except for $2 billion. Pass that and then sign an emergency declaration. Then you'll get your money for the wall. And then now he's standing back and watching while many Republicans, more than four, were threatening to join the Democrats in overriding the president's, or, you know, reversing the president's emergency declaration. By the way, you need to call your senator today and tell them, absolutely, do not vote with the Democrats on a resolution to terminate the president's national emergency declaration. How dare they? How dare they? That's all I can say. Mark Krikorian, head of Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, Sandy Rios, coming back with, we're going to open the phone lines in a second here because I really want to know what you think about lots of things. I'll give you the number now. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
I love the story in 2 Kings in chapter 5, the story of Naaman, a great man. He had leprosy and he desperately wanted to be healed. He was eventually led to Elisha. When Elisha told him what he needed to do, he became very angry. He just wanted to be healed instantly. Sound familiar? Then in verse 13, his servant came to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?" Listen, when God wants us to do a great work in our life, we need to just listen and obey, regardless of how he wants us to achieve it.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Secretary Ann M. White from the Department of Environmental Management. Ms. White oversees the department that oversees the cleanup of our nation's nuclear weapons complex, focusing on radioactive and toxic waste. The department has successfully cleaned up 90 sites, with another 17 to go. Psalm 95:5 reminds us of the importance of caring for the world, because God created it. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Secretary White as she works to ensure the safe cleanup of our nation's nuclear sites. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A matter of courage on Capitol Hill. More next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
In just a few short months, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar has earned a notorious reputation on Capitol Hill, uttering statements that are flat-out anti-Semitic. Republicans have called on Democrats to rebuke the Congresswoman. Some have, but leadership has not. Instead, Speaker Pelosi is expected to advance a resolution condemning anti-Semitism. To be clear, the resolution does not condemn Ms. Omar. It does not even mention Ms. Omar. The time for resolutions has come and gone, and now it's time for Congresswoman Omar to be gone. Expelled. It is the right and decent thing to do. But I doubt that will happen. Just look at how the Democrats have handled the scandals in Virginia. They've given the accused a pass. And now it appears the Democrats are on the verge of giving Congresswoman Omar a pass. To borrow a phrase from Hillary Clinton, what a basket of deplorables. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And when your son looks at you and says, "Mama, look, you won," bullies don't win. And I said, "Baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there. We're going to impeach the mother."
That was Rashida Tlaib. Remember that? That was the night of her swearing in as a congressman from Michigan. Rashida Tlaib, who is herself, she doesn't wear hijab, but she's very much, it seems to me, on all accounts from her conversation and the company she keeps, an Islamist. She's announced this week that she's going to introduce articles of impeachment against President Trump. She announced that yesterday. She is, of course, at odds with her party leadership, but she says, basically, we want to be able to work on these economic justice issues, racial justice issues, and everything. But guess what? There's a wall there and a constitutional crisis that's not going to be able to be have us be able to do our jobs as American Congress members to push a lot of these agendas forward. The last election was a calling. I mean, we saw record turnout in an election year where people wanted to elect the jury that will begin the impeachment proceedings to Donald Trump. That's part of what she said yesterday. And I want to remind you, Rashida is the one who had an Islamist with her standing next to her, well, I think while she was swearing in. A woman named, now this is a new person to me, Azra Nomani. Azra Nomani is the founder of a group, as I understand it, that wants to present a more moderate Islam, a more moderate form of Islam to the United States. So she was trying to meet with Rashida Tlaib, trying to get into her office. And what she reported is that CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and Linda Sarsour, who is anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, she's an Islamist, she's affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, so is CARE, obviously, were acting as bouncers in the hallway in Rashida Tlaib's office, and she actually posted a video where you see them walking alongside her, walking up and down the halls of Congress. It's actually pretty chilling to me, to be honest with you. It's like, what country are we in? What country are we in? In fact, I'm going to send this to Adam, and he can post that tweet and video on our Facebook page so that you can see it. Meanwhile, back to the issue we mentioned earlier. Oh, no, I have to say at least this. You heard mention of this in our news at the top of the hour, but the Democrats were going to pass a resolution to condemn anti-Semitism. That was the plan. And as I understand it, they wrote a pretty good resolution to begin with. But then the likes of Rashida Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Black Caucus had a fit. They had a fit. They had such a fit that Nancy Pelosi walked out of the meeting with them. And they are putting their feet down that they don't. First, they decided they'd have a resolution that basically said, we hate everything. We Islamophobia, we condemn that. We condemn anti-Semitism. I criticize every form of hatred, which, of course, becomes a meaningless resolution. They refuse to put Ilhan Omar's name in it. And so now it looks as though they cannot even get that weakest kind of resolution passed. Steny Hoyer is saying he doesn't know when or if that's going to happen. The three members of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House where Tlaib is part of, which she should never be on that panel. We talked about this at length yesterday because of her Islamic connections, her dangerous connections to Islamic and terrorist groups. She should never be on that committee. And the chairman of the committee is a Jewish member. I can't remember his name right offhand. But initially, people thought that he would stand firmly against her. And at first, it sounded like he was. And now, no, not so much. No, I'm not going to ask her to be off the committee. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm against anti-Semitism, but I'm not against her personally, basically. So that's kind of the way this is going down. So it's amazing. It's an amazing thing to watch. It really is an amazing thing to watch. So we've got that going on in the Capitol. We have the resolution that's passing through the Senate to undermine the president's declaring a national emergency at the border in order to get funding for a wall. Even Republicans now are joining in to oppose that. Mitch McConnell is doing nothing to help the president or to cover him or have his back. It's a distressing time. It really is. And I want to know what you think. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And so let's see what's on your mind. John in Mississippi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
You're doing a fantastic job. First of all,
thanks,
and,
John.
We cannot, first of all, as Christians, we cannot lose sight of the fact that the Lord put Donald Trump, chose him, just like he chose Paul. Now, Donald Trump ain't killed no Christians, but Paul did, and the Lord still chose him to write three quarters of the New Testament. He's using Donald Trump just like he uses Cyrus to build the wall, to rebuild the United States. And the Democrats represent Satan and Sanballat and all of those kind of people that's in the Bible, because they try to micromanage everything he does, and they want to destroy him, period. And we cannot, as Christians, cannot ever forget that for one second. And he's got people on the side of, you know, Republicans and Christians that are doing the same thing. They're serving the devil. And we cannot ever, if we lose sight of that, we'll lose sight of what's really going on.
John, you know, I think one thing I learned when I was in Chicago that really surprised me, talking to this issue in particular, was I used to have a black friend. She was a Harvard PhD, and she was on my show a lot. We talked a lot about everything. And she told me about the longstanding animosity between the black community and the Jewish community, something I had never heard in my life. Do you know anything about that?
Well, it depends on where you was raised, how you was raised, and the environment that you was raised in. Because if you're dealing with people that are very insecure within themselves because of the way they was raised, as far as maybe was fatherless and whatever the case may be, what happens is those who were not raised like that have a healthy perspective for all people, especially Jewish people, and they understand, because my dad, he worked with a lot of Jewish people in New York, and he even spoke a little Yiddish. So the way we was raised is totally different. But if you're insecure and you grow up in a city, and I'm not saying that as a stereotype, and no one is speaking into your life and speaking into your ear, you know, the big perspective, oh, yeah, you're going to have that, because you're going to start lumping white people, Jewish people, put them all in the same pot. And that blame game, you know, and not really looking at the Democratic Party for their history of slavery and different things like that, then you're going to be deceived, and you're going to really be very dug in on that particular area of perspective. And it's sad, but it's absolutely false.
Yeah, I hear you, John, and that gives good perspective. You know, you think of Louis Farrakhan, that's a whole other branch that seems to appeal to a whole other group of black Americans who hates the Jews. And then Jeremiah Wright, you know, the President Obama's preacher. So now we have a whole group of really black radicals serving in the House of Representatives. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised that they are siding with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar in their anti-Semitic remarks. So it's just interesting. John, thanks a lot. I appreciate your comments today. Let's go to Sandy in Texas. Good morning, Sandy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Sandy.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I love listening to your program.
Thank you.
I listen every morning as I get ready for work. My comment is about the wall, and I've heard that we go to other countries and help other countries build walls. Why can't we go to Mexico and tell Mexico we're going to build them a wall?
Well, of course, I don't know if Mexico wants a wall. You know, we have done more to boost Mexico's economy. I wish I had the numbers in front of me, because so many Mexican nationals have come here, and they will send their checks back to their families back in Mexico, and we have boosted the economy in Mexico off the charts. So they don't really want a wall, I don't think, Sandy. I think that's the answer to that question.
I was just thinking about, you know, how they're being overrun by these aliens, because they're getting stuck over there till they can get over here. And they were having quite a problem earlier this year, I thought.
Yeah, they were. But I don't really understand all of that, so I can't speak with authority. It's just that some said that their efforts to stop them were kind of half-hearted, because I think down on their Mexico's southern border, they thought, you know, they were happy to let them pass through Mexico and then flood our borders. I think that was the original. I think, from what I do know, that was probably just fine with them. And then you're right. They ended up making sort of an agreement with President Trump that they would be a little tougher, and that also they would be more welcoming, so that Mexican, Central American and South American migrants could find work there in Mexico. So I don't know, Sandy, they've gone through a change of leadership in Mexico. They have a new leader, and we're just now finding out, so I don't really know. But that's a good suggestion. I'll pass that on. Thank you. Let's go to Keith in Michigan. Good morning, Keith. What's on your mind?
Hi. Hey, Hi. One of the things that I was thinking about was that one way that we can guarantee a wall is going to be put up in the Mexican border and all over through the United States is that if we incorporate the socialism, we're going to be building a wall to keep the Americans in, just like we did, just like the East Berliners did.
So you're saying that you think with the trends, make sure I understand what you just said, trends being what they are toward the left here, you think Americans would be trying to get out? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's one guarantee way that the Democrats will support a wall is that
Americans
want to try to escape America, just like the East Berliners were trying to do
okay.
when there was a West and East Berlin.
Yes, a bit of irony. Yeah, okay, interesting point, Keith. And, you know, that's the other thing. We've talked about this. I think I went into this at great length when this discussion about a wall being immoral and the notion, I think Ocasio-Cortez made some comparison of the proposed wall on our southern border with the Berlin Wall. And I went into a great length explaining to all of you why that was really silly. I actually lived in Berlin during the Cold War behind that wall. And it was a wall built by the left, the communist Russian East Germans, to keep the good people of East Germany away from freedom, to pin them in, to put them, cage them like animals. That's what that wall was for. Very different than us trying to keep people who are not citizens, who are not, you know, those were Germans whose family were right across the street. They were being walled off from their own families. It was their country. And so just no comparison whatsoever. All right, let me go to Lori in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. A lot of good comments this morning. I want to speak particularly first to the gentleman who called in who was a Black American. You know, I have one of my dearest friends in the world is, and oldest friends in the world, is a lady named Carol. She's been my friend so long, my kids refer to her as Aunt Carol and don't like it when anybody else tries to claim her. She is a woman of color, a beautiful woman inside and out. We've had some heart-to-heart talks. I was listening to your gentleman friend, and we were trying to discuss, like, trying to figure out what is that difference between why is there something going on between the Jews and the Black people? And I don't think they have a very good recall of history of who was marching with them. And that makes me sad, which is a side point. But, you know, one of the things she was telling me about Black Lives Matter, is she was just laughing about how ridiculous Black Lives Matter was. And this is a woman of color. You know, Black people kill their own children at a higher rate than any other color of people, which is heartbreaking, which is a side note. But the thing that I called to speak about was losing our freedom because of immigration. We are losing our freedom because of immigration, because even just particularly looking at medicine alone and the healthcare that was mentioned, you know, with the emergency rooms and stuff, it is driving up the cost of healthcare exponentially. With the driving up of cost of healthcare, we see the ignorant people who don't understand what's going on because of a failed education system. And we have a second generation, third generation of people coming out of the public school systems utterly uneducated because of the teachers that are in the classroom right now, the changing of what real education used to be and not political agendas and social brainwashing. These kids and these younger adults aren't able to see the truth. With this flood of immigration, it is going to flood the healthcare costs.
Yep.
That is going to drive people's mentality
yes.
to socialized medicine. Under socialized medicine, we absolutely have no freedom to choose what healthcare we get and what healthcare we don't.
Yeah, Lori, that's you're absolutely right, and that's a good reminder. That's exactly what's going to be happening. It is exactly what is happening. And, of course, when we hear the stories about immigrants coming over the border needing medical care, our hearts go out to them. We don't want to refuse medical care, but the truth is we cannot care for everyone in the entire planet and our own family. And our first obligation and responsibility is to our own family, and that's our American family. I'll be right back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Venezuelan socialist strongman Nicolas Maduro has recently unleashed his military to shoot aid workers and has burned food trucks seeking to feed the starving and desperate Venezuelan people. He is a brutal dictator. Yet Bernie Sanders, who's running for president again, by the way, refused to identify him as such. Bernie acknowledged Maduro's recent election wasn't democratic, but he refused to say Maduro was a dictator. Why? Because Bernie knows the collapse of the formerly oil-rich nation is a striking example of national socialism. By condemning Maduro, Bernie implicates himself. If Venezuela is socialist, why would America want it?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
Alexa, play American Family Radio.
Welcome to the AFR Alexa skill.
Alexa, play the Today's Issues podcast from August 10th.
Do you want to play Hour 1 or 2?
Hour 1.
This is Trivia Friday.
Click Just Ask Alexa at the bottom of the Alexa FAQ page at AFR.net to get started. Then use Amazon Alexa to access the programming of American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Twitter executives admitted to two podcasters that they are blatantly biased against conservative views on human sexuality and actually have rules against conservative points of view. I'm proof. My Twitter account has been locked because I sent out this tweet. Quote, the question is not about orientation, but behavior. No one is obligated to give in to sexual impulses that lead him to sexually deviant behavior. No one. End quote. That's all I wrote. Twitter said my tweet violated their community standards against hate speech, if you can believe it. I appealed to Twitter twice on the grounds that what I wrote is simply the truth. But the truth apparently has no defense against the irrational bigotry, bias, and hatred on the left. Twitter needs to learn that disagreement is not hate, the truth is not hate speech, and discernment is not bigotry.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A number of Republican senators are considering voting with Democrats in the Senate and the House to repudiate President Trump over his declaration of a national emergency at our southern border. Some Republicans have already declared their intention to do so. While it now appears there are sufficient GOP defections for a resolution of disapproval to pass in the Senate, the question is, will there be enough of them to override its veto by Mr. Trump? Let's be clear. Should that happen, it would likely be the kiss of death for continued Republican control of the upper house of Congress. Because enough Americans know the border crisis is an emergency, and they are sufficiently angry to vote out of office Senate Republicans who profess to want something done about it, but just not the way the president proposes. That dog won't hunt. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The projections are dire. The agency is now on track to apprehend more migrants crossing illegally in the first 6 months of this fiscal year than the entirety of FY17. And at the current pace, we are on track to encounter close to 1 million illegal aliens at our southern border this year. Our capacity is already severely restrained, but these increases will overwhelm the system entirely. This is not a manufactured crisis. This is truly an emergency. Very unfortunately, because of the increase in violence at ICE, when we have families with children, we have to give every girl a pregnancy test over 10. This is not a safe journey.
Krista Nielsen testifying before Congress yesterday. And just because you might not hear this anywhere else, the Daily Beast is reporting that John Kelly is saying that Attorney General Jeff Sessions' zero-tolerance immigration policy caught Homeland Security flat-footed. That's what John Kelly is reporting, because Kirstjen Nielsen testified to some effect like that on Capitol Hill yesterday. But just to clarify, people that I know who know would tell you that that's not true, that General Sessions talked to Kirstjen Nielsen about that policy before he announced it. It's just that she did nothing about it, didn't prepare. So when he announced it, she wasn't ready. You know, there's been a war. See, this is discouraging. I recognize that when I tell you this stuff, it's discouraging, but this is just full disclosure, and you understand the conflict in government. Kirstjen Nielsen was handpicked by John Kelly, and she has never been good on the border, never. Many of us were just appalled that she was appointed by the president for this role. She is also very close to Mike McCall in Texas. And let me just tell you, your congressman, Texans, Mike McCall, is really bad on the border. And he did a lot of really bad things. And also, he was really very helpful to the Muslim Brotherhood in building up their influence in government. So, and John Kelly was there. It's sort of a triumvirate there. So I'm just telling you, that's not really true, that Sessions did warn Kirstjen Nielsen, and she just didn't do anything about it, and now she's claiming she was caught flat-footed. So you just can't trust everything you're hearing, that's for sure. I also want to just give a practical word. You know, you heard Frank Gaffney talk about his Secure Freedom Radio at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time on the network. I want you to know that that is Frank is an absolute jewel to have on our network. He has guests, national security experts who are fascinating, with him every single night. And if you're not listening to that because it's too late, then you should do what some of you do with this show. You should listen to it later, because you will learn so much from Frank and his guests, stuff you won't hear really anyplace else. Even Fox doesn't have a steady diet of national security experts that I would trust, but Frank does. And so I just think put that on the app. You could listen to podcasts all the time. Secure Freedom Radio, that's Frank Gaffney's show at 10 Central Standard Time, each and every, Monday through Friday night. A fresh show every night. Frank just hits the mark constantly. He amazes me because I know his schedule. He's just an amazing man, a real patriot. So just wanted to tell you about that little jewel. Okay, going to go back to the phone lines, and they are full. Our phone number, in case we have a space that comes available, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Brad in Kansas. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, how you doing?
Really good, thank you.
This is my first time getting through, so I feel special today.
Well, it is anyway. Your special day, no doubt about it. But seriously, what's on your mind, Brad?
Well, I have two words that can fix the problems in Washington, even though we know it's never going to happen, and it's called term limits. And you got term limits for the president, for governors, and whatever else, except for these people in Washington. You know, first of all, I need to say I have nothing against old people, but I've always had a joke that if you wanted to see the biggest living antique mall in the country, go to Washington, D.C. I mean, some of these people in their late 80s, for crying out loud.
And that's all they've ever done, Brad. That's all they've ever done.
Well, there are certain jobs in this country, like me. I'm a truck driver. I have physical requirements to keep the job. People in the military, the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. How about we issue a test for anybody in Congress over 70 for some kind of a mental test to see if they're capable of really doing the job?
Well, that's the thing. I would have to say, Brad. No, I would have to say that certainly you want some age there for wisdom. But when they get to the point where they can't do the work, which is, I think, where we certainly are in the Senate, I've said many times over, they're working like 2.5 days a week at the most. They don't want to come back on weekends. They don't want to filibuster late into the night. They don't want to do the hard work that they need to do. They're pretty comfortable sitting in that little leather padded seat and then having all the luxuries and comforts that they have as aging senators. And I think you're absolutely right. It has become a mess. Brad, I want to ask you something. Did you hear me interview Chris Kobach last week at CPAC?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. I didn't know he was involved in what he's involved in.
And you didn't?
I voted for him, of course, but he didn't win, but I voted for him.
Well, you know, he's talking about running for governor. I mean, do you have a feel for whether you think he might have success in Kansas?
You mean he for senator for Pat that's retiring? He just tried governor and he lost.
Oh, that's right. You're absolutely right. It is senator. You're right.
I really did listen, didn't I?
Yes, you did, and good for you.
Okay. Yeah.
No, but seriously.
I think I'll do okay. Kansas is always a red state, except for the governor area. I haven't figured that one out yet, but it has to do with the location. But our last governor wasn't very good. I mean, Brownback did not do a very good job. So it goes back and forth in Kansas. I mean, we're a forever red state. I mean, I thought about calling my senators and my congressmen, but I know where they stand. So I really don't have to vote because I agree with them. And they agree with me.
Well, speaking of aging senators, your Pat Roberts is one of those. He's in that category of doing absolutely nothing, except when he runs, and he talks like a good conservative. But he really is. His record, at least for the last several years that I've been following it, is just bad. You know, it's just do nothing.
That one Democrat senator, I think it was Strom Thurmond.
Yes.
99 years old.
Yeah.
He was a button pusher for the Democrat Party. That's all he was. He never introduced bills or anything.
Yeah, well, you're right. You've diagnosed it correctly. Thanks a lot, Brad, and be safe driving. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Good morning, Joe.
Hi, thanks for my call. Yeah, your last caller hit the nail right on the head. Term limits is the answer. That's what I was going to say, that the swamp in Washington is far worse and far deeper than any average American realized. Trump is exposing that. Mitch McConnell is a weak rhino establishment, and now Rand Paul is voting against the president. Kentucky is a red state, and they need to primary both of those guys out of there. It's sad because the Tea Party helped put Rand Paul in there, and he's not been reliable. He has on some things, but not all things. And then one last thing, I work with a lot of blacks, Hispanics, and females, and they will tell me when no one else is around that they didn't vote for Trump in the last election, but they will vote for him on the next election. So that is encouraging. So thanks all for all that you do, and keep fighting the good fight.
Thank you, Joe. Very, very interesting. You know, we have some good friends who are Jewish who are very involved. Let's just say they've had a change of heart. They weren't always Trump supporters, and now they are very strong Trump supporters, and many of their Jewish friends are quite liberal, are actually whispering to them that they may not vote for Trump, but they are surely not going to vote for the Democrats. Now, that's not a scientific sampling, but I think it's interesting. I just think it's interesting. And, you know, we need to pray for President Trump that he will stay the course, because I think that he needs to be reminded of his promises. And he needs to be held accountable. And so far, he's done a great job, I think. There have been some things that I've cringed. In terms of policy, I cringe when he talks sometimes, yes. But for the most part, I find his honesty absolutely refreshing. I was just watching a video yesterday. Do you remember that moment in the debate with Hillary Clinton when she said something about, I wish I had the excerpt, it'll be a disaster to have someone like Donald Trump in charge of our Justice Department. And he comes back and says, yeah, that's right, because you'd be in jail. Remember that? I remember that. You know, who does that on a presidential debate stage? Nobody. But I think those of us that wanted justice, have wanted justice, were just, our hearts were refreshed. It was like words can have power and they can bring life. And I think he brought life and hope. Anyway, so there you go. Let's go to Tim in Arkansas. Good morning, Tim. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hi, Sandy. I was just actually wanted to say I'm kind of encouraged by something that you said, that Nancy Pelosi walked out of a meeting with the Democrats about this resolution. Seems to me that what we're kind of seeing is a fractioning in the Democratic Party between the old progressives and the new progressives. The old progressives are saying, yeah, we want to go this far, but no further. And the new progressives are like, we're going to go all the way. I don't know if you saw this. Another example of that was what happened to Martina Navratilova, who used to be sort of a poster child for the LGBTQ community, but she's actually been sort of sanctioned by them because she basically said that transgender men who are competing in women's sports, that that's cheating. And so now she's sort of on the out with the LGBTQ community because of that stand. So it seems like we're kind of seeing some of this splitting because the new progressives are going to say there's no place that we're not going to go. We're going to go all out, and the old progressives are like, no, that's a little too far for us.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, Tim. And we're going to see more of that. And yes, if you think I think it's good news that the Democrats are divided in the House, you'd be right about that. Yeah, so that's a very good observation. Thank you. Let's go to Brian in Arkansas. Good morning, Brian. Quickly, if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you mentioned this morning about the one new senator that had the cronies outside her office, you know, I guess trying to buffer who could get in her place.
Rashida Tlaib. Hang on a second, Brian. Yes. Rashida Tlaib. From Michigan, and she has operatives of care, goons with care, guarding her outside her office and up and down the hallways. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, so it just came to mind, and I'm not going to get this right, but you'll, I think, grasp my point. When in Scripture it talks about when one demon is cast out, if the house is not filled with, you know, something else, then seven more that are stronger than it will come and reoccupy, or something very close to that. And I thought, you know, that seems like that's what's happening with the Americans that we have that lean more toward the left. I don't like using Democrat and Republican because you really can't tell them apart anymore. So, but the Americans that really lean toward the left, what they've done is they've invited these people like this Rashid lady and others by backing them with money and so forth and getting them elected. And now that they're in there, they don't know what to do with them. And that's just my thought. I appreciate phenomenal job.
Thank you, Brian. That's a very good observation. Very good. And I'm not going to comment on it because I want to take another caller here. Let's go to Cheryl in Ohio. Cheryl, what's on your mind? Or Cheryl, maybe.
I was just wanting to know, or just wanting to put out to brothers and sisters who are believers, that a fence is not unbiblical. You know, all of your ancient cities had walls for protection. God did not, and God had a wall around Eden, the Garden of Eden. You know, there's been boundaries. God gave boundaries for Israel as to what the promised land was. So boundaries and fencing are for protection and for law, so that we will not have a lawless land. And Christians need to focus on that. It's not immoral. What the governments or the heads of the governments are doing in their countries by sending their people up here, rather than spending the money that the United States gives them for humane assistance, that is immoral.
Yes, and also then, of course, not providing for your own. What is it? Jesus said, if a man doesn't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. I mean, now we know what an infidel means. That's not a compliment. And so we have to provide for our own children, our own families, in our own country first, and then with the abundance, the extra that we have, we help as many people as we possibly can. And that's the order of the way things should be. Sherilyn, good observation. Thank you. Let me remind all of you that your senators need to hear from you, because many Republicans are getting ready to undermine the president again on this emergency declaration. How dare they? I would say call Mitch McConnell's office and tell him to stop that. They need to support the president, and then call your senator and tell them that they need to support the president too on this emergency declaration. And you're watching how they vote on this. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.